Will you turn with me then in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel and to chapter 1, where I'd like to read verses 26 to 38. That's Luke chapter 1 and verses 26 to 38. Where God's word reads here. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favoured one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And I just want to look at one of the verses, in fact verse 38, as I look at our Bible study this evening. I think it may be fair to say that some may be somewhat surprised by the reading of those particular verses this evening hour, those verses that are recorded for us in the Gospel of Luke. But I have my reasons for turning to this particular section of the scripture, because I was reminded just recently of Mary's action described for us in verse 38. The words, "Let it be to me according to your word," were described to me as Mary demonstrating unquestionable submission to an unexpected turn of events in her life. I was reminded of such words after letting the elders know that I had come to the decision that it would be unwise for me to go and visit Alistair and Chris McLaren in the Middle East. The decision has not been an easy one for me, because I enjoy travelling, I enjoy meeting people from other parts of the world, and I would have appreciated visiting Alistair and Chris in their particular situation in the Middle East, and obviously subsequently reporting to the church about my visit. I was very disappointed about not visiting our friends, and have found coming to that decision somewhat frustrating, saddening, and a difficult providence to bear. The description of Mary's reaction as being one of unquestionable submission is a challenge to me in terms of my reaction to this unexpected providence of God in my own life just recently. Now, I recognise that Mary received an appearance from the angel Gabriel to tell her of God's will for her. God's will for me in the matter of the Middle East obviously didn't come in that way. But as I have sought God in prayer to know his will and applied sanctified common sense, the pathway ahead has become more obvious to me. In addition, by seeking to know God's will in respect of the trip to the Middle East, it has raised in my mind the question of submission in the Christian life. And this evening I would like, with God's help, to set out a few matters that God has drawn to my attention through this experience. But before I go into the matters that relate to Christian men and women, I think it would be wise to first ask the question, how is submission regarded today in the life of individuals, in the lives of men and women? And I think it would be fair to say that the matter of submission to other people is something that is not readily accepted by many people in our nation today. It will appear that everything is open to challenge, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Now, the starting point appears to be my rights, my ways, my life. We rarely hear of people mentioning a person's responsibility to others. We see the lack of submission in various ways, don't we? Let me give you a number of examples. By children to parents in family life. Karen will tell you that her and her colleagues recognize very quickly which children rule their parents. Children from the youngest of ages. What a reminder to us, although that there is innocence in childhood, no child is born innocent. Doctrine of original sin. By people to government, both nationally and locally. Whilst I acknowledge that people who govern have to be accountable to their fellow citizens and need to be challenged through the proper channels concerning their conduct on occasions, it seems today that trial takes place by media, Facebook and Twitter. That's the order of the hour. By people to the rule of law, the police and the enforcement agencies. When you consider the number of murders that occurred in Leicestershire over the last few months, do the perpetrators have any concern for the sanctity of life and for the misery that they leave behind as a consequence of killing somebody else? But we equally see a lack of submission in the church as well, don't we? Correction is not accepted by many people. I don't like being told or hearing this aspect of my life is not in accordance with God's word, so I'm off. Simon mentioned to me some months ago what happened when a pastor was preaching to his congregations from Romans 1 about homosexuality. All the young people in the congregation got up on large and walked out. It goes on in the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying that church members should accept a leadership that lords it over them or tries to override a person's conscience or is preaching about issues that are not referred to in the Bible. But as Hebrews 13:17 tells us, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Now, the commander I've just mentioned from Hebrews has been made by the living God. And it's been made to the bride of Christ, saved through the sacrificial death of our dear Saviour on Calvary's cross. Consequently, should we ignore such a command? We do so in defiance of the one who has loved us and given his son for us, if we do. So that's the background that I wanted to paint for you in the light of this issue of submission. But what does it mean to be submissive to God? What did our Saviour say? Well, in John 4:34, Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Or if you turn to John 5:30, Jesus says, "I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." But perhaps the supreme verse that we can turn to, or it's one of a number that occurs in the Gospels, Matthew 26:39, is the one that I've made reference to here. O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. You realise that I've only just quoted a few references from the scripture. But it's no wonder Spurgeon said about submission, it is perhaps one of the hardest struggles of the Christian life to learn this sentence: not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name be the glory. Or as somebody else has written, and I do not know the author, submission is to cherish God and his way in your heart by having God in your mind always. God's word in 1 Peter 2 and verse 15, through to chapter 3 and verse 9, and I'm not quoting every relevant issue that comes up in that passage of scripture, I think it's very helpful because it reminds us that we are to submit to the will of God by doing good, by being free but not using our liberty as a cloak of wickedness or vice, depending on what translation you have, by honouring all people, by loving the brotherhood, by fearing God, and so on. It's all there. But being submitted to God's will is not necessarily easy. Let us consider Mary's position for a moment. She was to become pregnant prior to marriage. Consequently, doubt would be cast over her character. Everyone would be wondering what was going on, because Mary and Joseph are not living up to the marriage agreement they had made. Or perhaps Mary had found somebody else in her life. And we have to realize there that the marriage agreement in those times was quite a lot different to what it is today. For the rest of her life, she would be looked down upon by those who didn't believe, by those that didn't have faith. Jesus would be considered an illegitimate child, and Mary an adulterer, given the young age that she had the child, given that she was in a marriage arrangement with Joseph. Yeah, she would have to live with quite a stigma. The question arises, would we be willing to sacrifice our reputation to do God's will? Challenging question to me. But then, what does Mary's submission exhibit? And I think one point that we can make in this direction is this, that Mary's submission exhibits a servant spirit. And I think we can learn that from these words: behold the maidservant of the Lord. And the word maidservant means, as one commentator has described, someone who is submissive and obedient, and is the same as saying, I fully credit all that is said, and I am perfectly ready to obey all the commands of the Lord. In the Old Testament, the word maidservant refers to a slave, and a female slave. The Apostle Paul, notwithstanding all his gifts, regarded himself as a bondservant or a slave of Christ. And he uses the word bondservant in Romans 1:1. He uses the same phrase in Philippians 1:1 and in his letter to Titus, Titus 1:1. You can find the same word. But I think what Paul's words on his conversion, recorded for us in Acts 9:6, also are very telling in respect to whom Paul's and our service and submission should be directed, when Paul said words that I'm going to describe to you now. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? Or the words in Colossians 3:23-24, whatever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord we will receive the reward of the inheritance. for you serve the Lord Christ. The point I'm making is this. Are we thinking and doing what the Lord wants? Are we submitting to him in our individual lives? And obviously it applies to the church in general. And of course the Lord Jesus Christ is our prime example, for we read in Mark 10:45 that he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That was our Saviour's disposition of spirit, his submissive disposition to the will of the Father. The question is, are we seeking to live in a similar way to our Saviour and Mary by having a servant spirit and submitting to God's will? But I think Mary's submissive was exhibited in this way, and that was genuine humility. Mary exhibited genuine humility, I believe. How much the angel's greeting of saying to Mary that she was highly favoured, that the Lord was with her, that she was blessed among women, and that she had found favour with the Lord, could have caused her to become proud, puffed up. We could say self-terrain. But her very demeanour through the visitation of the angel was one of humble submission, and her demeanour was shown for us in verses 29, 30 and 34. For we are told that she was troubled by the saying, and furthermore she wondered what manner of greeting it was. Mary was afraid. When the angel said Mary would conceive, she became puzzled, not through a lack of faith, I believe, but by being bewildered as to how her conception would take place. Mary truly humbled herself under the mighty hand of God. In fact, in the Old Testament, the meaning of the word maidservant not only refers to a female slave, but is also used as a term of humility and of respectful self-deprecation in the presence of great people, prophets and kings. I think Mary's humility and respectful self-deprecation was brought about by the knowledge that she wasn't in the presence of an earthly king, but in the presence of the King of Kings, as she listened to the words of the angel Gabriel, who was God's messenger. The question that naturally arises for all of us from Mary's conduct is this: how do we react to an unusual providence of God? Are we humble? Are we submissive? But then finally, I think Mary exhibits faithful love. By sacrificing her reputation to do God's will and fearing God more than man, Mary showed loving faith. Why would she react in that way? I think she took account of the fact that true faith recognizes that God does what is best for us, notwithstanding what the difficulties might be in the way ahead. I think some verses from Jeremiah help here. In Jeremiah 1:5, God reminds the prophet that he has formed him. He has formed us. That before the prophet was born, God had set him apart or sanctified him. The same applies to us. And God had ordained him to be a prophet to the nations. Do we look at eternity past in a similar way? Do we remember God has made us, set us apart for his service, ordered that we would fulfill his purposes in his eternal plan, and that God's way is best for us? Does it not help us to go forward in faith by considering God's providence in that way? I think Jeremiah 29:11 also helps us as well. I recognize that the verse comes from a letter sent to the exiles, but I think the contents of the verse are helpful to our faith and submission as well. What does God say? He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you a future and a hope. What intimacy our God and Saviour has for each believer. He has thoughts for each and every one of us as individuals. Thoughts that will give us a future and a hope, even a blessed hope. We can hardly come to any sort of understanding of the magnitude of God's love and concern for us as individuals, can we, given the multitude of believers throughout the world, from every nation, from every corner of the globe over the centuries. Did such thoughts come to Mary as she contemplated God's message to her? Was she viewing God's providence to her and the unquestionable submission she demonstrated, mindful of the sentiments that Topley refers to in hymn 606 in Christian Hymns? A sovereign protector I have, unseen, yet ever at hand, unchangeably faithful to save, almighty to rule and command. I could have gone on to mention other matters as well concerning the nature and the character of God to give reasons why we should be demonstrating an unquestionable spirit to the providences of God in our lives. Significance is appropriate at this time. Submission is a wide subject. It covers it, for example, how we respond to God's word, how we respond to elders, how we respond to one another. It also deals with a husband and wife relationship as well. It deals with submission to governing authorities. It deals with submission to employers, and I've just named a few things. However, the principles above are some of the matters that have come to my mind as I've tried to respond to the challenge of my recent disappointment not to go to the Middle East. And I hope in some way that it may be helpful to you as God deals with you in this life.